Peter, can we have the first picture, please, up on the screen? And I don't have the little thing to move the pictures on, so I'm going to have to ask if you will do that for me. Let's go back a little bit to the time when the Israelites, that the children of Israel, as they're sometimes called, were in the land of Egypt. There in the land of Egypt, they were forced to work as slaves for Pharaoh. But God works some incredible wonders, and under the leadership of Moses, the people of God, the children of Israel, were able to leave Egypt and enter into the desert. Well, they wandered through the desert for a while before coming to this mountain. Now, can anybody tell me the name of this mountain? Mount something. Any ideas? Peter? Well, that is a really good try, but that is not the answer that I'm looking for. Mount Carmel does appear in the Old Testament, but any other ideas? Older friends, help me out. Mount Sinai, that's right. And the children of Israel, they camped, as you can see in this picture, in front of Mount Sinai. Now I've got another picture. And whilst they were there, God descended on the mountain. And there was all this dark cloud or smoke and lightning and thunder, and it was a really scary thing for the children of Israel. Well, there came a time when Moses led the people to the foot of the mountain. Now, they weren't actually allowed to set foot on the mountain itself. And if you look at this picture, you can see that they're all standing slightly away from it. God had commanded the people that they weren't to set foot on the mountain. But there's one man who's about to climb up the mountain, and his name is Moses. His name is Moses. And here we've got another picture of the mountain that was covered in smoke because the Lord God had descended upon it in fire. Well, the next picture is of Moses again. And can anybody tell me what it is that he's got in his hands or in his arms? Any ideas? You see, Moses went up the mountain to talk to God, although I think God did most of the talking. And whilst he was up on the mountain, God gave him two tablets of stone. Now, on the two tablets of stone were written something. Naomi. The Ten Commandments, that's right. Or the Ten Laws of God for his people. Written on these tablets of stone were commandments that the children of Israel were to live by. This was God's will for his people. Now, we're going to look tonight at one particular commandment, the fifth commandment. Can anybody tell me what the fifth commandment was all about? Any ideas? Can you give me the gist? You can pick up your Bibles if you like and have a look. Anyone going to give me an answer? The fifth commandment. Naomi? Ah, not that one. Adults, help me out. Honor your father and your mother. We'll have the commandment up on the screen. Here it is. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, this is the commandment that we're going to think about tonight. Well, I'm going to invite us all to bow our heads in prayer once again. So let's pray. Lord, you gave your law to your people many years ago, and it was something that you wanted them to take seriously. And yet the reality is that there were times when your people failed miserably when it came to keeping your law. And Lord, we fail miserably too when it comes to keeping your law. Indeed, what the law does is it points out our sin, our wickedness before you. And Lord, we know that this was always the intention of your law. Human beings such as ourselves, we could never hope to earn a place in heaven by keeping your law. Your law simply condemns us and shows us our need of a Saviour. And we thank you that the Saviour, the Lord Jesus, has come into the world and he has lived a perfect life and died upon the cross in order that we might be saved and go to heaven, so long as we trust in him. And yet, Lord, your word tells us that when we trust in the Lord Jesus, you write the law of God upon our hearts. And Lord, many of us here tonight want to thank you for writing your law upon our hearts. We thank you for the work of your Spirit in our lives. And may it be our delight day by day to live for you, to walk according to your ways. We thank you, Lord, for the young people that are here tonight, and we do want to pray for them. As they grow up, we pray for them as they go to school or to college, and may you be their help and their strength in all their studies. We pray that they may be enabled to prepare themselves for the years that lie ahead. Well, whatever age we are, we have worries and concerns of one kind or another, and we pray that you would help us to look to you when we meet with difficulties and trials in our lives. Lord, we want to thank you for the youth groups that are run in this or from this local fellowship. We thank you for those who work really hard in order to put on a good, fun evening for the young people. And we pray for those who serve you faithfully in this way, and we ask that you would grant them the energy and the vision that they need in order to continue with this work. But we pray that many of the young people and boys and girls that go along to these meetings would not only have a really good time, a time of fun, but would be spoken to by yourself through your holy word. Indeed, Lord, that is the real longing of our hearts, that we might see young people and boys and girls won for the Lord Jesus. Lord, will you surprise us this year by the work that you will do in the lives of young people in this place and indeed across our land. Lord, we thank you for this commandment that you have given that is relevant not only to the boys and girls but all of us here this evening. And we pray that we would really understand what this commandment has to say to us, and we pray also that you would help us to obey this commandment, to live in the light of it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, Peter, if we can have the next picture up on the screen, that would be great. We're thinking, aren't we, about this particular commandment. You can't see that, can you? Well, perhaps you can if you look really carefully. But here are the two tablets of stone, and there are four commandments written on this side, and there are five commandments written on that side. The first four commandments, can you tell me what they're all about? You might need to look into your Bible in order to answer this question. Can you tell me what they are all about? You see, traditionally, they're divided into 2. Any ideas? The adults might need to help out at this point. What are the first four commandments all about? Yes. That's exactly right. The first four relate to God. The last six relate to how we relate to our neighbour. In other words, the first four tell us how to love God. The remaining six tell us how to love our neighbour. And unfortunately, you can't see this, but the one at the top on the right-hand side is our commandment tonight. Honour your father and mother, which might suggest to us that actually this is a really important commandment. You see, loving one another starts in the home. And we all need to learn to love our mum and dad, and we love them by honouring them. But let me ask a question tonight. What does it mean to honour mum and dad? Any thoughts as to what it might mean to honour mum and dad? Well, I think it means to acknowledge their authority over us. I think it means that we are to respect them, to look up to them, to care for them, and to see them as God's gift to us. Now, I want to ask another question. How important do you think this commandment is to God? I mean, how would we rate it in terms of importance? Do we see it as a commandment that's not really that important? Do we see it as a commandment that's sort of fairly important? Or do we see it as a commandment that it is really, really important? What do you think? Well, I want to say tonight that God sees this commandment as a really, really important commandment. Now, I'm going to shock some of you this evening. I'm going to surprise some of you this evening. Because in the Old Testament, we see that some of the worst curses or the worst judgments were reserved for disobedient children. They were reserved for those who did not honour their mum and dad. Can we have the next one, Peter? Let me read two bits of scripture to you. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death, because they have cursed their father or mother. Their blood will be on their own head. Leviticus 20, verse 9. If someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all of the men of his town are to stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. Now, if you disobey your parents this evening, are you going to be put into prison or put to death by the state tomorrow? Well, the answer is no. But in the days of Moses, that was what happened. And the point I'm trying to make is that God sees disobedience as a really serious thing. God sees the honouring of our parents as a really important thing. And I want to try to impress that upon all of us here this evening. Why should we honour our parents? Why should we honour our parents? Well, I would argue because they deserve it. I mean, think about all that they do for us. Because God's word says that we should honor them. Because they're wiser than we are. They've been around a lot longer than we have. But also because it pays to do so. Next picture, or next slide, please. You see, this is the first commandment with a promise. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The promise of God is this, that if you honor your mum and dad, you'll live a long time and you'll live really well. Now, that's not a guarantee. Nevertheless, it is the promise of God. It's the promise of blessing to those who honor their parents. Now, another question. For how long should we honor our parents? For how long should we honor our parents? So there's going to come a day when we're going to leave home. Is that the day when we can cease to honor our parents? Or have we got to go on honoring them? Well, the answer is that we've got to go on honoring them. I think I've got another picture here. A lady, look, looking after her mum. You see, there's going to come a day when our parents get old and perhaps a bit awkward. Well, what we mustn't do, yes, that's true, Richard, it can happen. There's going to come a day when our parents get old and perhaps awkward and difficult, like Richard over there. Now, the thing we mustn't do is shove them in a home and forget about them. That might be what we're tempted to do. That is what some do. But you see, that wouldn't be very honouring, would it, to our parents? We've got to seek to honour them by caring for them throughout their lives. Next slide, Peter. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Another question. How should we honour our parents? Next slide, please, Peter. What do you think I'm going to say? By listening to what they say and not ignoring them. Particularly when they give us words of counsel or instruction or direction. One of the ways in which we can honour our parents is by listening to them. Another way we can honour them is by telling them where we're going. And what we're planning to do, and not keeping them in the dark. Next picture, another way that we can honour them is by not being rude. Can you tell me what this little girl is doing? What's she saying while she's putting up her hand? Talk to the hand. I've only discovered that particular saying in more recent years. I must be honest and say that I would never have dared say such a thing to my parents. But yes, talk to the hand. Well, that's not the way to go. We must be willing to respect our parents and to listen to what they say. But lastly, we must be willing to obey what they say. And that might mean tidying our bedroom. This girl looks as if she needs to tidy her bedroom. And to obey straight away. And not to obey after we've been told to tidy our bedroom 10 times or 20 times or even 30 times. These are just ways in which we can honour our parents. Well, I'm going to leave it there for the minute. I've got a few more things that I want to say. And you can be thinking about whether there are times when it's okay for us to disobey our parents. Are there times when we can justifiably disobey our parents? Well, think about that, and we'll come back to that question in just a little while. But we're looking at a commandment tonight that tells us that we are to honour our parents. But what if our parents are really rubbish? What if they're not very good? As parents, are we still to honour them, do you think? Well, the answer is yes, because God tells us that we are to honour them. But having said that, are there times, do you think, when we must disobey our parents? What do you think, yes or no? Yes. Now don't get too excited. Because you can only disobey your parents under certain conditions, but when might it be right to disobey your parents? When might it be right to disobey your parents?
Well, you could come home and say, Dad, I've just stolen this Mars bar from the local shop, and Dad said, that's very good, son, go back and get me one as well.
Okay. Very good. If your dad tells you to steal, you must disobey him. If your mum tells you to lie, you must disobey your mum. Because you see, God must come first. God's will must come first. We want to honour our parents, we want to obey our parents whenever we can, and we should make every effort to do that, but there may be times when we have to say no, because that would mean disobeying God. And God must come first. I want to tell you a story that I think really illustrates this well. If we can have the next picture up on the screen. It's the story of Jonathan, and the man on the right-hand side is Jonathan. The man on this side is David. They're both young men. They were really good friends. Really good friends. Next picture, please. Jonathan had a father whose name was Saul. He was the king of Israel, a very powerful and influential man. And Saul absolutely hated David. And you can see David, look, at the front of the procession there. And the reason King Saul hated David was because David would go into battle with the army of Israel, and he would do really well. And the people would praise David. The people thought that David was absolutely wonderful, and Saul didn't like that. He was jealous of David and wanted to kill David, to put his life to an end. Well, one day, Saul and Jonathan were sitting down at dinner time. You can see Saul there with his crown on. You can see Jonathan sitting in front of his father. There's a seat here that's missing. That's where David would have sat. Anyway, at this particular mealtime, Saul realized that Jonathan was concerned to protect David's life. And he became really angry with his son. In fact, he became so angry that he took his spear and threw it at him with the intention of killing him. Now, I'm cutting a long story short here, but Jonathan enabled David to run for his life. Jonathan enabled David to escape from Saul. who so desperately wanted to kill him. Now, Jonathan acted contrary, didn't he, to his father's wishes. But he did the right thing. You see, not only did he defend David's life, he also prevented his father from committing a terrible act of murder. But don't think this evening that Jonathan wasn't concerned to honour or to obey his father. The Bible tells us that there was an occasion when Jonathan sought to defend his father in the midst of battle and actually ended up dying as a result. Jonathan was a man who was concerned to honour his father, but not if it meant disobeying God. Peter, I don't know whether we can wind back as far as the slides are concerned to the commandment for this evening. Is that possible to do that? Not that one, the one that's actually got the commandment written on it. I think it's the one before that. There we go. Excellent. Well, this is the commandment, isn't it? Tonight, honour your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, don't put your hand up when I ask this question. But have you failed to keep this commandment? We've all failed, haven't we, to keep this commandment? You know, we're naughty. We're disobedient from the off. We've all disobeyed. And because we've disobeyed, we deserve to be punished by God. In fact, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That's how serious our disobedience is to God's law. Now, that sounds pretty desperate, doesn't it? But actually, there is really good news tonight, because God sent someone into the world and he kept this commandment perfectly. In fact, he kept all of the Ten Commandments perfectly. Never once did he fail to keep them. Who is it that I'm talking about? I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about God's Son. He kept all of the commandments perfectly, and then he died upon the cross. And the Bible says that God will count Jesus' death on the cross as our death upon the cross. And he will count Jesus' perfect obedience as our perfect obedience if we trust in him as our Lord and Saviour. Now let me try to explain that in a slightly different way. We have sinned. We've broken God's commandments, and because we've done that, we deserve to die. We deserve to be separated from God forever. But Jesus came into the world, and he died upon a cross in the place of sinners, so that sinners don't have to die. Jesus lived a perfect life, and God counts his perfect obedience as ours if we trust in the Lord Jesus. So yes, we've failed to keep God's commandment, but we can, by trusting in Jesus, be saved from our sins and be given the gift, the wonderful gift of everlasting life. And that's really good news, isn't it? That is really good news. The commandments, they condemn us, but Jesus gives eternal life. He gives salvation from sin to all who will repent of their sins and trust in him as their Saviour and Lord. And I believe this evening that that is something that every single one of us in this room so desperately needs to do, if we haven't done it already. Well, let's pray together, shall we, before we sing our final hymn. Lord, we've all failed you. Well, Lord, some of us look back in shame when we think about the way that we spoke to our parents. Not only did we dishonor them, but we dishonored you. Lord, we seem to be living in a time when children, young people, disrespect their parents and don't seem to appreciate the authority that has been given to them by God. But we thank you, Lord God, that you have sent into our world a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and suffered and died upon the cross so that we could be saved from our sin and declared righteous, declared holy, declared good, declared obedient in the sight of a holy God. Thank you for your word to us tonight. Help us to understand it. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.